that have to be doing that work this morning. So thank you for that. Today's message, if you were here last week, you'll know it's the second of two, but I don't think you'll miss anything too much from not being here last week. I just want to maybe take you back to what I felt was the key message about finding our joy and finding our joy in the Lord. The Lord wants us to be happy. And sometimes when we find our joy in stuff or things or idols that we make in our heart, as it's labeled in the Bible, that's not always the best way to find joy. And that both of these messages were inspired by a Reed Institute survey. I told you about the key finding last week, that most people just want to make themselves happy and don't care about others. And yet, another key finding was that the larger the role of faith in the lives of Canadians, the more likely it is they say they value altruism, or we might say compassion, over self-fulfillment. It's interesting also, I read something else this week that said Center for Disease Control study said that only 1 in 3 people have a clear reason for getting up in the morning. So I'd ask you to look at the person on your right and the person on your left and decide which among you had your reason for getting up this morning. I suspect we're an unusual group in that we all have a purpose to be here this morning, and we might be a little out of the normal realm for that, but I thought that was pretty sad. People wouldn't have a reason to get up in the morning. But let's dig into that a little further and consider what it means to be a disciple in the context of this church, or maybe old town or a 5-mile radius, and then expand out towards the farthest reaches of our world. As we as a congregation are preparing for a new ministry, you'll remember back when the call was being prepared, we were asked what our values were. What did we value? What should we tell someone who is considering being a pastor here? And among those was the value of missions. As we considered our core values, I want to consider compassion as a mission. And I think it's a value that fits well with our congregation, not only according to the survey and the majority of people of faith, but for our own congregation and in the context of Canada as we know it today. The text that came forward this morning, John 11, where Jesus mourns the death of a man, a close friend named Lazarus, who was the brother of Mary and Martha, it was an inspiration that came from Dr. Robert Cornwall, who's pastor in Troy, Michigan, at Central Woodward Christian Church. And he notes that John 11 is well known to many of us as the story of raising Lazarus from the dead. But he suggested that we posit what's often known as the briefest scriptural text, Jesus wept. That verse and the words that precede it reinforce the message of compassion in the ministry of Jesus. We note that Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He had that human sense of feeling, and that he acted from a deep sense of emotion, showing his compassion. If we can agree that Jesus is the living word and wisdom of God, then he must reveal the heart of God, which is full of compassion. There's another word that goes with compassion, and that's empathy. According to its dictionary definition, it involves such attitudes and actions as understanding, awareness, sensitivity. To be compassionate, we need to be empathetic, and that allows us to walk in the shoes of another, the shoes of our neighbors. We can do this, as we know, by understanding the hearts and minds and situations of our neighbors, so that even if we've never experienced what they've experienced, we can still understand what they are experiencing. And I felt this yesterday. I was in Avondale, and I went to buy one thing, and as often happens, you end up looking at something else and wanting to buy something else. So I was trying on a little jacket. It looked like a good deal, yada, yada, yada. It was a rather portly woman, I'll just say that, and she had a dress she was trying on over her clothes, and she was stuck. And she didn't want to one ribbon, and, you know, it's maybe just a little thing, but I asked her, would you like in the end to get that on? And she said, oh, yes, I sure would, because I don't want to pay for it if I'm not going to buy it. You know, just even the smallest thing can be a little bit of empathy and compassion. Well, Jesus' compassion went beyond just walking in the shoes of another. It led him to act. In this case, according to John, moved by his own grief, Jesus chose to raise Lazarus from the dead and restore him to life. How many of us wish we could do that for our good friends and family? Another text that speaks to the way we might live out compassion is the parable we know of the Good Samaritan, who was despised by most everybody in the community and yet offered aid to a man who had been mugged that other people just simply walked by. The story illustrates what it means to be a good neighbor, but it also encourages us to act on our compassion. The letter of James also speaks to the importance of compassion to a life of faith. James defines true religion in terms of caring for orphans and widows who are in distress in chapter 1. He goes on to say that faith without works is dead. That is, without acts of compassion, our faith is meaningless. I read a book recently by a gentleman whose name is John Krakauer called Into Thin Air. It was about his May 1996 trek to the peak of Mount Everest. It was an ill-fated journey, which he survived. He survived, but many others did not. There was a sudden blizzard, 8 people died, there were 100-mile-an-hour winds and sub-zero temperatures. His trek leader died, trying to rescue fellow climbers. John Krakauer wrote in his book that he experienced such severe emotion after, I guess you would call it survivor's guilt. And he was writing the book trying to escape or move on from the tragedy, but reportedly cannot keep from feeling blame and shame for his own survival, and perhaps what he felt was a poor decision despite being without sleep for 57 hours and trying to save himself to duck in a tent and fall asleep while others were dying out on the mountainside. And in some way, he had been sent out on this expedition to write an article for a magazine, an outdoorsy kind of magazine, which he felt in the end was rather perhaps trivial. And to this day, he was hoping, through writing the book, that he would bring to light the over-commercialization of places like Mount Everest and the many subsequent deaths on the mountain. Of course, his family were thrilled that he took care of himself and made it back alive, but he still has to live with what else he might have done, as I said, despite being without sleep for 57 hours and literally collapsing when he got back to the tent where he could have safety. Peter Gomez was an American preacher and theologian who served at Harvard University. He's noted as saying, compassion is both a source and manifestation of inner strength. He posed the question as follows, could it be that what we must do to stand when others around us are falling is to show compassion, to enter into the shoes and souls of another? And he goes on to say, compassion is the opposite of fear, because love, which is another word for compassion, casts out fear. Indeed, it has to do with the exercise of that inner strength that allows us power in the face of powerlessness and of the powers that be. So as people who support missions, who have heard the call to live compassionately, we face the question, how do we live a life of compassionate faith? If we were to brainstorm, I expect we'd come up with a myriad of possibilities. In the interest of time, I'll mention just a few which are already occurring in our congregational life. I want to begin by talking about Presbyterian sharing, our proclaiming Christ in word and deed. We support, through that, the overall mission and ministry of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. As we all know, every year at budget, congregations are encouraged to raise an allocated amount. This year, for the congregational gifts, the overall total is $6.9 million. We always feel like this church does its fair share, but we always know there's room for more. I once had a chat with Reverend Barb about how do we know how much to help and where to put our money, where to put our time. You can't do everything. If you're a compassionate, empathetic soul, it just kills you that you can't go do everything. And she thought on that for a bit, and I know it was a disturbing thought to her too, because she agreed with me. And she said, you know, we do what we can, but whatever we do, I ask and I suggest that we do it prayerfully, to pray on it and listen for that still, small voice. As you'll see, I think it's in the order of worship this morning, there's a story of the sacrament of the ordinary through gifts of Presbyterian sharing, providing grants to 9 new congregational developments in Canada. And one that's kind of interesting and caught my eye was the Two Rivers group in Guelph, Ontario, that have a bi-weekly meet in somebody's living room, have dinner and conversation, encouraging people to share something from the past week that caused them to reflect on the presence of grace in the mundane, routine world. Their minister, Reverend Soderholm, says, I think that what we want to cultivate is for people to be in a deeper attunement to the reality of God within us in every detail of our lives. By hearing each other's reflections, we become more open to the possibility in all our daily lives. Inspired by God's promise of abundant life, Presbyterian World Service and Development envisions a sustainable and compassionate and just world. And there's numerous programs being undertaken. Our church responds to emergency situations with food, water, shelter, medical supplies. Food security by training farmers how to increase crop yields. Build sustainable livelihoods through education and economic empowerment. Works to improve health and nutrition for families. Advocates for peace and human rights, and helps refugees start new lives in Canada. If you're at our annual meeting and have been to our services through the months since then, you'll know that through the encouragement of Nancy and Peter King, we are also committed this year to support the Ministry for Caribbean Workers, the outreach project. The CWAP, as its acronym is known, supports or not only social gatherings, but church services and farm visits for migrant workers. And there's two ministers who spend 4 weeks each of them in the area to visit workers, lead worship service, and offer support and spiritual guidance to them. And we're always pleased when they can come and join us. And one of the things that's been requested again is if you can arrange for rides and host some of these folks to make it to our church services. There are great needs in our world, and there's grand opportunities for purpose. If you're one of those people who woke up and didn't know what your purpose was today, we're surrounded by people in difficult and dire circumstances. Here's some other statistics that I found. Every minute, 20 people become victims of domestic violence in Canada. About 30% of all people in Canada have been abused at one point in their life. In 2014, it was a peak year. More than 250,000 people died from drug overdoses in the world and thousands in Canada. We've all read the headlines of the opioid crisis and epidemic. As of 2013, there were 62,000 children in foster care in Canada. There are 7% Indigenous people in Canada. Half of the children in foster care are First Nations. And there are more than 3,500 suicides in Canada annually, some right in our own hometown. I don't tell you all these statistics to depress you, but to encourage you to never give up on being a good Samaritan and helping others, and helping and having compassion. You don't always know what's going on in the lives of the person on your way, and the person on your back, and the person you have in there. Or the grocery store, or the one that cuts you off in traffic on my way. Compassion isn't just expressed through organized activities. It occurs whenever we sit and listen to someone who grieves or hurts. It can happen when we mow a lawn or paint a fence for someone else who is unable to accomplish the task. Or it may involve providing meals to somebody. Or simply a hug or a shoulder to lean on. It can positively influence the way we lead our public lives. Such a commitment should also include a call to peace, which is an action of our corporate church. More recently, with the situation described as beyond impossible, with religious extremism, as part of the World Council of Churches, they met in June in Palestine to seek a just peace for both Palestinian and Jewish people in the Holy Land. Back to my phrase of never give up. Jesus told stories like the parable of the Good Samaritan so we could get inside the hearts and minds of others. As we recall that well-known parable and his compassion, let's continue our putting of ourselves into the one who's lying in the ditch. Put ourselves into that person's shoes. The one who passed him by and the one who reached out to him. I'm thankful that we can understand and carry out what it means to be a compassionate congregation, and I wish that more would join us and could join us. The folks out front from China seem hesitant to come in, and I wanted them to see our church. That's something I could do this morning. They've never been exposed to church. How would they know if they ever wanted to go into one? And finally, thinking back to the message last week, even in our secular world, it's noted that helping others brings joy. It's been said that when we combine our gifts, our passions, our values, we will find purpose or our calling, and in fulfilling that, our happiness. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Our next hymn of praise is 587, Called as Partners in Christ's Service.
Thank you.